This is RSBNB Update, episode 551, recorded Friday, January 29th, 2016, Ahead of the Curve. Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining us once again for RSBNB Update. This week, we have that skill that everyone has been waiting for. But joining Colton and myself to discuss that is two other informers, Mr. Bistro.
Hello.
And Tanis. Welcome to you both.
How's it going?
So, you guys excited about this episode we're about to do, and excited about the past week, Tanis?
No, not at all. I mean, I'm excited about the show. I'd love to be on the show. Thanks for having me. But considering I voted against Invention twice, I wasn't real in a real hurry for it. I could have waited.
All right. How about you, Mr. Bistro?
Well, logging in and not seeing my max cape makes me a little bit sad, but I'm ready for training Inventor and reaping the benefits. So,
there's all benefits.
Right. Well, I guess then we should get going. So, Colton, how about you?
Yeah, I was about to say, I for one am ecstatic. Thank you very much. I am excited to discuss this lovely skill. So, yeah, let's
all right.
Do it.
So we're going to start off by just telling everyone about how Invention works. And, well, the best way to get started is actually with the tutorial that you really should do. And if you do not do, I don't even know why you're playing RuneScape if you just go right through this tutorial. Because this tutorial basically teaches you how to do the skill.
What are you even doing if you're not doing the tutorial?
I know. I thought I would only need one hand to count the number of people. But this week, the number of people on one hand I could count that asked how Invention worked after going through the tutorial and reaching level 11 or whatever it was just kind of astounding. But
So you could count them on one hand or no?
I could not.
Okay, just making sure. The way you worded that was a little confusing.
Yeah, definitely more than five had that problem. But anyways.
Well, I think it was refreshing to see such complexity in a skill like this. I mean, you will be sitting at a bench for a good portion of the start of this, and just all the options, though it may be confusing at first for some people, it doesn't take long to actually get into and figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically the way it begins is you start off with disassembling some stuff, and you're given things to disassemble by the dwarf in there. And when you disassemble them, you gain inspiration points. And these inspiration points are just an abstract point system that are stored on your character. And then they can be used to research various, items or pieces of the invention skill, I guess we could say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then after that, it's basically a matter of putting together the prototype with various number of parts. You'll do this through trial and error. Some parts will fit, some won't. And then after that, you need to optimize the prototype to use the least amount of inspiration that you want. Optimally, you want to go for perfect, but you can also shoot for excellent, satisfactory. Personally, I wouldn't shoot for anything less than excellent. Though that...
I'll stop you right there just real quick. Am I the only one that finds that mechanic a little bit weird and kind of awkward?
I find it kind of bland. I don't feel like it really needed to be there. I think it should have been done better, because it does bring out invention, because you are making blueprints.
Yeah, but really you're just kind of messing around. There's no actual method to the madness. It's just you see parts and it's trial and error to, you know, get the best combo. If there were a system of logical explanation to why you want them in certain orders for certain discoveries, then okay, but this is probably my biggest beef with all of Invention, excepting the launch, which we'll get to. But yeah, I just thought this was a little bit wonky.
Yeah, with five different components, that means there's 120 different ways for it to go.
Exactly.
And if you get to excellent, you're only one move away from receiving perfect. So the trick with that is to just try, you know, swapping things and then putting them back, and you'll get it after a while. So
yeah, I have a hard time getting better than good, like at first. I mean, now I can get excellent. I've never gotten higher than that.
Yeah, it's just a matter of brute forcing it to excellent, I find. Because there's no real, you know, like you said, methodology behind that, which is, I guess, kind of disappointing. But what else could they have done, right?
Very true, very true.
So,
well, they could have left a puzzles for quest, but, you know what I mean? Who am I to judge?
Yeah, well, I mean, they've tried that and we've had different outcomes, but of course we'll save that for our questing weeks.
Right.
So, anyways, after you discover the prototypes and invent them using your inspiration points, you need to manufacture them using, once again, spare parts and sometimes divine energy. And this is basically the workbench part of invention finished. You can create various things like augmenters, gizmo shells, just to name a couple. And the augmenters, of course, go on weapons. Gizmo shells go on the augmented weapons and can store perks, which we'll get to in a bit. Mm-hmm. And that is basically how you train invention at the workbench. And, you know, you are right in that it is refreshing because it's so simple, almost. It's just a matter of finding the things, right?
Yeah, it's simple, but it doesn't adhere to the way other skills go, where you can actually make something out of a specific level that you gain by adding things onto weapons and really making them unique. And I got that question from a few people. They were just like, yeah, but are you really inventing anything? Because, you know, there's every level you unlock something else. But this just takes it that step further.
All right.
I think when it's finished, there will be, you will be kind of inventing your own way, like playstyle. You'll be able to complement that, which is good. That is refreshing. That's something we needed. This is the only skill that truly has kind of in-game content to it. But, you know, we'll get to the launch and we'll get to the training of it. Those, I think, are its really weak points.
Well, I think Tanis is right. I mean, after the hype sort of dies down and people are no longer wholly focused, because right now it's mostly just get as much invention XP as you can. But once things die down and say 6 months, a year from now, when people are just playing the game normally, these perks, whether they're altered or not by then or new ones are added at that point, we don't know. But they'll come to affect how people fight bosses, how people skill. I mean, all that kind of stuff. And we'll see augmentable tools, of course. But even the armor that you wear can improve your XP, which is something that I find kind of interesting, given that it's not like skilling armor. But it will impact the game and how you play, which will make things even more customizable and granular.
Yeah, and I mean, we're just at the beginning of that. We need to remember that the whole point of this skill is a companion skill to divination, which I think it's kind of weak on, but we can discuss that later. But it's also designed to be an item sink for the items that exist in vast quantities in the game. Because you need to disassemble these items for, you know, the various parts and whatnot, and then you use those parts to build things. So, for example, the augmenter. The augmenter initially required and currently requires, as of this podcast, but it's getting tweaked a bit later, we'll talk about that, 45 base parts, 45 flexible parts, 45 tensile parts, 8 enhancing components, and 7 powerful components. And you need to get these from various pieces of equipment that you find in game, and this is needed to augment a weapon before you can even start getting massive amounts of XP in this skill. So, with that being said, here's what I am going after to build my augmenters for my weapons along the way. I'm currently training Herb Lore, you know, wanting to level up Herb Lore past 99 to 120, right? Mm-hmm. So previously we had something in game called an adrenaline potion, which, I mean, I could make all those, but I would never use them all. So now with invention, I actually have a reason to use these adrenaline potions.
So I'm happy. Have you broken them down?
Well, yeah. That's how I made my first set of augmenters, is I broke down adrenaline potions for enhanced components.
Yeah, I broke down 4K of those.
Yeah.
Just because sitting around, I mean, why not?
Exactly. And you're not going to use them all, right?
Oh, no. No.
And if you're breaking down potions, be sure to decant them into one-dose ones, because the junk chance and the amount of components they give is the same as a four-dose one.
Really?
Yes.
That I didn't know.
That seems broken.
That hurts. That hurts. I'm hurt.
Interesting.
I'm hurting right now.
Yeah.
Food for thought. Thank you.
Powerful components I'm getting either from Spirit Terror Birds, because those are cheap. You can get bird meat and Ooglog, Canifus, and just make them using gold charms, which are useless once again. Or if you have unicorn horns or want to go hunting unicorns, unicorn stallions. Green charms, once again, not really useful.
Mm-hmm.
And who doesn't have tons of unicorns lying around in their bank, right?
Me.
That is true.
But there's always the Tower of Life. Right?
For?
Unicorn horns.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Thank you.
I used to have unicorn pouches.
Where'd they go?
They went into Inventor.
Oh, okay. Also, if you're on a crafting binge and you're doing air battle staves, once again, another good source of powerful components. Though you might want to sell them. I don't know. It's up to you. Tensile components, once again, come from shield bows. And that's why everyone was, of course, doing the unstrung shield bows, which was fixed the second day. Also flexible parts from that. And base parts just come from Addy's sword. So once again, I think we have a reason in-game to train smithing with something other than gold bars and, you know, maybe go back to conventional smithing.
Yeah, wow. I was going to say, you did that with gold bars? Ouch.
Yeah. Because I had around 550 Addy bars sitting in my bank when the skill came out, so I smithed them into swords or hatchets and then broke those down. So that also gave me a good stack of components. So I can see myself having a different way of training this skill and training my other skills to support invention through this, because I'll just focus and say, okay, so I want these components. I'm looking at these kind of things for invention. What can I make in my other skills that I'm training to benefit from that?
Well, invention is unique in the way, now that it is starting to work, it's entirely up to you how you're going to do that. I mean, you can make this an Iron Man skill if you want. You can go out and get your own stuff, make mm-hmm. your own stuff, and break your own stuff down, which is pretty cool. Or if you've got bags of money, then you can buy it, you know. So there's some customization in how you want to do that, which I find pretty cool.
Yeah. So let's talk about the skill mechanics right now. Initially, when this started out, we were promised that we're not going to be having a new XP curve, but lo and behold, we learn out the Friday before this skill comes out that, surprise, XP curve.
Mm-hmm.
36 million XP for level 99, around 80 million for level 120.
Mm-hmm. So, Ken, Shayna, since, you know, you're good with the numbers, can you explain this to me? Because it makes no sense in my head. I'm so... This is the one thing that's probably ticked me off more than anything else about it.
Myself and probably two other math people who are kind of connected to RSBNB have been looking at these numbers, and we do not have an equation yet.
So in other words, they pulled this right out of the sky. Let's go with the sky.
Well, it's kind of interesting because every 10 levels, there's a large jump. So
mm-hmm.
that basically tells us that, okay, we might be looking at something where each set of 10 is a different gain rate, which kind of makes sense.
Right, but why on earth do you take 24 mil off of a 120, devalue 120, and add it to 99? That's what I can't figure out. Like, I don't... I can't figure that out.
I would say it's because this is an elite skill and Dungeoneering is not. And for any elite skill that they release in the future, which I'm guessing at this point all the new skills will be elite skills, will follow a similar pattern to this.
Oh yeah, they'd have to. They'd have to.
But see, that's another thing. If it's not for this curve, then the only thing that makes this an elite skill is the fact that you need three other skills. Like, I really think it should have been either a regular skill or they should have done something different. I really have a problem with this XP curve. I just really do.
I mean, I'm only level 30 something. I don't remember the exact number. It was late when I got it, but I mean, it's not hitting me yet, but I assume it will, because it looks like it starts to get really steep around level 45 or so.
Yeah, it does. It starts to get to where, like, breaking down a whole weapon, 540k only gets you one weapon, or one level, or even less, once you get to the upper reaches.
The difference between level 45 and 44 is 119k XP. Now, we said 540k XP for breaking down a weapon, so that will cease to work after level 71. So you get level 71, and one weapon breakdown will not get you a level.
Wow. Jeez.
And then by level 88, we're up to 1 million XP per level.
Do you think this was needed? I mean, like, because my thing is that I kind of agree with... I'm kind of in between it right now. I think it's kind of interesting that it's unique, but I don't see why it was necessary. Like, they could have just messed with the XP and made it so that 13 million would have taken the same amount of time as however much, 36 million for 99 takes. I don't see the purpose.
Well, I mean, you could think of it like this too. Like you said, was it needed? Because, okay, is it kind of a flawed curve saying, hey, 91 is halfway to 99? Yeah. Is it kind of part of RuneScape's quirkiness and just part of its fabric? Yeah. So why are you messing with it? Like, I don't get that.
Well, the thing is, to me, is it, like, the most confusing thing is the fact that I think they wanted to make it so that lower levels were not quite as, like, you got 1 to 10 almost instantly. But it was still the case with this thing. You get
level
3 30. Or 4 from the tutorial, and I got to level 20-some just from breaking down unstrung magic bows the very first day. That's all I did. I didn't even train the skill. I just broke stuff down.
Me too.
And so it's like the skill's still fast. It's still quote-unquote broken, which I don't think is honestly broken. But it's still that flaw that I think they wanted to try and fix. So,
I mean, it feels more linear in the lower... in the lower part.
I would have to say that it is broken, because the number one player, it's not even been a week, and they have 45 mil cap max XP.
That was because of the implementation. That was an oversight, and it's been pretty much fixed at this point.
All right, let's get a verdict on the curve, then I'll move that part up before the real way to trade invention XP. So, I mean, I am on the fence about this curve still. I mean, until it gets into an equation-based form that can be converted and looked at compared to the other ones, I cannot say how exactly different it is, because all I see right now are numbers. I don't see any patterns. And, I mean, if we were to keep a similar kind of trajectory that we got going on here, they could have just done it by modifying the XP of items. But the downside of that is that creating an augmenter is always going to give you the same amount of XP. And as we know, leveling weapons is also going to give you the same amount of XP. So,
maybe.
My theory is that given the reason it's an elite skill, as in you require 80 divination, crafting, and smithing to train, plus it goes to level 120, and that elite aspect of it means it's going to be different. They could, and the augmenters and the weapons give the same amount of XP regardless of what level you are. That tells me that the curve is to modify the progression because of the way it was designed. They can't exactly do that through changing content.
I have to, I think you're right with that. And the curve is like one of my major issues, because I think if you're going to have an elite skill, then that is supposed to be separate. So two things there. One, I think that that's tied to comp, that's tied to untrimmed. That's not, shouldn't be tied to max. And it shouldn't, how is it a companion skill for divination? It's not a skill. It's an elite skill.
I think they've sort of abandoned that at this point. It's no longer a complete companion to divination. It works off of divination, but I mean, with the divine charges being the source of energy for augmented weapons, but I think they've sort of gone away from
that.
That's
literally the only reason you need divination.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, forcing us to have to train as hard as we're training just to get our in-game content back, that's what really exposes this curve as a problem. Like, otherwise, we could train this leisurely and actually do Inventor as Inventor is meant to be.
Invention.
And invention, yes. Yes, thank you. I do that all the time. But it's hard to really flesh out the perks and setting your gear up. You know, like I was saying earlier, you're really just trying to get something on your weapon that ain't going to hurt you. When I think what they wanted and what I wanted to see out of it was actually really gearing your weapon, like really making it cool and making it fit your playstyle. But that's all out the window right now because you've got to get your stuff back.
All right. Colton, Bistro, you guys have any thoughts on the curve?
Other than what I've already said, I think it was a little silly. I mean, I guess I kind of understand how it's almost intentionally there to kind of slow us down, especially at the mid to upper levels. But other than that, I think it, I don't know, wasn't entirely necessary. But it doesn't bother me too much.
I honestly just don't mind it. I really don't care that much. And I feel like I should, but I just, it's an XP curve.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not max, so I don't have that going for me, the pressure to get that cape back, but I can see how that would be painful.
Well, and it's, you know, it's not just the, it's not the cape, it's the guild. I mean, it adds so much value to the stuff that you do as a max player. It has so much value to just the way that you play the game. That taking that away is a serious blow. And then taking that away and adding 20 mil on the front end instead of the back end where it should be, it hurts, man.
I survive without it. I don't know what you guys are talking about. No. Shane and I are fine without it.
Because you ain't never had it, man. Once you, if you have it and then have it taken away, that's different.
Yeah, you're pampered. You can't just like teleport right to the GE like right in front of you. Or have those extra teleports there. You know,
your challenge master. No. It's like RuneScape,
it's like RuneScape first world problems right there.
Right?
Kidding.
Yes.
Use your ports book, man. That's your quick bank now.
Hey, that is my new Kmart/Costco max telly right
what
there.
What about just using the Prif lodestone?
Ew, you don't want to be with the plebs. No.
Yeah, the city with full of sleeves that's been gated behind a Grandmaster quest and level 75 and like all skills.
Yeah, I'm back to using my Tolkal Zoe, and I remember when that was amazing, and now it just, oh
man.
I need my guild back.
Yes.
All right, so on a whole, the curve is fine for people who aren't maxed. It's kind of hurting you two who are maxed.
I guess that would be a good
way
of putting it. Yeah, that's
and
fair.
The curve was done to create a more linear progression at levels below 99 with a slight bump at every 10 levels. Well, be- all just being exponential after 120, but this could not be done through the traditional curve because the amount of XP you get at level 1 is the same amount of XP you get at level 120 for leveling up an augmented weapon. Hence why we have the new curve. Okay, I think we can go with that and call that settled.
I think so.
Agreed.
And see, yes. See, before we came in here, we just had no idea about what these curves were for and, you know, why they were doing such a thing, but now it makes total sense, right?
That's why you do what you do, man. So we can...
Well,
we
you
can
guys
bring
help
this
me out. You guys provide the differing opinions, and we come to a solution, and there we go.
Hey, Jagex is releasing that, like, EXP, like, tracker thing.
We'll get to that in a wee bit. But
that
let's,
might help you.
Before telling you guys how to train invention properly, let's look at the old broken way of leveling up that happened on the first 2 days or so of it being released.
Oh, Shane, can I do that since I wrote a whole article before
Please
they
do.
Screwed it?
But first, let me just give you guys some numbers here. As a podcast recording at late Friday, we have 4 people with level 120 in invention. And wow. 124 with 99.
I wish I was that rich.
The top amount of XP in game right now is Scuzzy with 155 million XP.
But it's been like that for a few hours, so you can assume he has a few mil more.
Oh yeah.
Well, but he's been throwing billions and billions at this skill. Like it's like if you I'm okay with this personally. If he wants to waste 10 bil on being the first 200 mil, hell, let him do it. I don't care. It's a waste of money and a waste of time. It's if he wants to throw away that, it's just sort of. And I've heard people compare this to like the Robin Hood of skills. It's taking from the rich and giving to the needy because the broken way made skilling and skilling resources so profitable. Especially those first couple days. I mean,
but we can't have that. We cannot have the skillers making money. Jeez.
I can understand why he's pouring that much money into it because Scuzzy is the guy with 200 mil and everything. So once he 200 mils this, he'll be at the top of not just invention, but the actual overall high score.
Which good for him. I mean, that's cool, but I don't really. I don't understand why it gets people so butthurt that one guy is up there when it's like, well, were you going to be competing for number one anyway? I know that it seems cheap, and I feel like he did cheat the system, and I feel like a few others did too, but I don't know. I don't really care. It's like the high scores don't matter to me. I think Jagex has fixed their problem. They addressed what was wrong. They admitted that there was an error. And I think things are better now, and he's lost a lot of money along with a lot of other people. So you know what? I'm not too fussed.
Yeah, and to clarify, the old way of doing this that everyone here in the top echelon benefited from when this first came out was perking. They would take dwarven hand cannons, break them down, use the explosive components, and make the gizmos filled with those and get insane amounts of XP. Hence why hand cannons were up to 800k each.
Well, that's why they're now like no hand cannons at all in the economy because they've all been dismantled. There were such a limited amount that they have basically single-handedly taken them all out of
they've
the
gone
economy.
Extinct.
Yeah, essentially. So go.
Mission accomplished.
Especially
right?
Now with the augmentable tools and dragon pickaxes going up in price too. Man, go to those chaos dogers, they're gonna be and the hand cannoneers, that'll be some serious profit.
Yeah, their drop rates just suck though. I tried them for hours. I
even
hate
for
it.
Hand cannons?
Yeah,
it's not. I mean, it depends if you're a lucky person. If you're a lucky person, hey, go for it. Give it a try.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it all comes down to timing really, and I mean it was just luck of the draw and having this kind of money. Because if you look at the top page of the high scores, the amount of people who have party hats in their images, well, there you go.
It's kind of gross, but whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, when you think about it, could Jagex have done a rollback? Yes. Should they have? I'm going to say yes, but there's an obvious reason why they would not. And that is that the first day Invention came out, there were already things happening, like riots in World 66 Falador, because things were being nerfed. So can you imagine if they would have rolled people back? It was a case of, I mean, not checking these things out beforehand, and...
But it's so hard to check this out beforehand. As a developer looking at this, I know how hard it is to test something on your test servers and put it into production when hundreds of thousands of people will now be using it.
But this should have been
you didn't account
no,
for.
You're entirely right.
This should have been glaringly obvious,
no,
though.
It wouldn't
XP
have been.
Rates were completely off. They had to buff the main way of training by 18 times what it was just to make it balanced again. That's a little bit much. I mean, maybe doubling. Okay, that's all right. 18 times? How did you miss that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and Mod Joe, who is the product owner of the Guardians team, which of course built Invention, says in his post, "Firstly, let me admit, mistakes have been made."
Well, clearly.
Yeah, that's nice. But maybe this is a problem with the way they test, because this shouldn't happen. And
you're right; it should have.
It just shouldn't have happened.
But there's one
I don't know
big
what they're testing
issue with
the
testing something
issue
like Invention.
When
okay,
the biggest issue I see.
We'll compare notes here, but go ahead.
The biggest issue I see is that they're not able to release this to the public. They don't release new skills to the public, so they can't get the idea of what
yes.
will actually break like this.
Yes.
And
but why can't they? Why can't they take a small focus group and do non-disclosure agreements
and
actually let people test it?
That is the way to do it, exactly, because as they said on stream, you know, they had practically everyone in the office play testing Invention, but they don't have the economy that we have in the main game in the Jagex office. So no one knew that, oh, there's, you know, no, we have no supply of explosive cannons in the Jagex office, but there's X amount in the real world, so we don't know how that's going to affect things. So, and even if you were to play test it with people on a beta server with non-disclosure agreements to the point where you said, if you talk about what you are testing, or even that you are a tester, your main account gets banned, that would not work, because there's no way to hook that into the economy, unless you take a massive picture, as you know, a snapshot of what your current economy looks like and all the items on the GE, all the items in everyone's bank, and simulate that to great effect. That's the only way it would work.
But how was it the economy? Like, how was it the economy that was messing with the XP rates? Because they fundamentally had to change the way you trained the skill, like.
Let me be clear about earlier. I may be a little bit too critical. They did apologize, and the thing is that addressing what you're saying, Tanis, they have said that this was initially what they wanted. They wanted training your weapon to be the way to train. Somehow there was something lost in translation. I feel like, although I think it was silly, the fact that they've addressed it, I think I'm willing to forgive them on their mess up. So I think they, I don't know, somebody said the wrong thing. I don't know how it got past them.
My theory is that the initial XP rates that were published and went into the game for training without your weapons were supposed to be the rates that you would train with and garner Invention experience. It was designed to be a slow skill. You were
that
not designed to get.
That's what I got out of, you know, sitting in that Adventure's Place. And when I imagined it before the skill was released, I was like, this isn't going to turn into, like, WoW's recent, like, I forgot what it's even called. Shoot. Oh, dang.
basically, my theory is that they wanted it to be a slower scale than it actually was. They said that on stream. They were visibly disappointed that it happened so fast. So my idea as to why we got the 1800% buff was because that's the only fair thing to do to everyone out there who, you know, doesn't have billions to sink into the skill for this, right?
Well, right. Well, on day one, I had my friend did a godsword level 10, got 15,000 XP. Now that's beyond slow. I mean, that's slower than divination.
It takes two hours to at least to upgrade a weapon entirely.
Yes.
So to get 15, that's 7.5K an hour. That is unheard of.
That's what runecrafting used to be.
That's lower. That's like level one old school runecrafting. Even upper level old school runecrafting was in like the 20-30K.
No.
Yes, it was.
You used to get around 12K XP an hour by runecrafting natures through the abyss.
I have a hard time believing that, but I don't know.
You're trading natures through the abyss? It should have been that altar where you can get all of the runes.
No, I'm just saying before that came out.
Oh, okay.
And before the abyss came out, we had something called nature rune running. Not sure if anyone remembers that.
Yeah.
But
I want to agree with Colton in the fact that, you know, yeah, I'm holding their feet to the fire, but they have done a really good job at trying to fix it. I think they have learned from their mistakes in the past and not letting crap linger around and become really, really bad. Mm-hmm. So I do give them credit on that. I would not have wanted to bend them this week.
Me neither.
You know, I feel bad.
The rage that they induced.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I hold their feet to the fire, but I also give them credit for being reactive and trying to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it was designed to be slow, and these people just broke it, so we got another fast skill. That's my hunch.
I still don't think this is a fast skill, because even if you tell me that I'm not going to agree with you here, Shane, because even if you tell me that it's meant to be the speed of runecrafting, it's practically three times the XP. So it's if you're looking at comparative races to 99, it's then a third of that XP. So it's more like 2.5K an hour. That's no, all the way up to level 99. Because it's 36 million XP. So I don't know if that argument holds entirely. I think they meant it to be slower than it is right now. I think that they may have overreacted a little bit by saying, you know what, we screwed up. We're going to really buff the heck out of upgrading your equipment and nerf the other methods, which I think was a good move to quiet people and make them actually train it the way it's supposed to. Is it a little excessive right now? Maybe it's a little too fast, but I don't think it was meant to be that slow upon release.
Colton, shh. Dude, they're going to hear this. I'm going to wake up Monday morning. We're going to have a new skill again.
And, I mean, when it comes down to it, they said on the streams numerous times that it is a case of working with the data they have on hand and not doing things with a knee-jerk reaction, which would have been easy to do given pressures from the community, which I think we've just illustrated here.
Yeah.
So 1,800% is probably a conservative estimate compared to what people were wanting.
I'm done saying negative things about this skill. I love this skill. Let's keep moving on.
No, we haven't said anything negative about it.
No, right? I feel like I'm slamming it too hard, but I love this skill, so I don't want to give off that false impression.
All right. And just to be fair here, the amount of XP you get from filling gizmos and creating perks has only been reduced by 50%. So that's still a decent method if you have tons of money to sink into it.
Yeah.
It's the method that I recommended, and in my article, which I do not believe is out yet.
It'll be out by the time we publish.
Okay. I recommended doing that towards the beginning because you're going to be able to use those gizmos.
Yeah.
YouTube Bistro?
You.
Yeah, I did that too, and then I got a phone call literally as I was typing my sign-off that said, did you hear about the update? I'm like, you're kidding me. You're kidding me, right?
Well, I mean, to start off, because for me, it was basically get up your charge count and make the gizmos so you can, like, unlock better things, like being able to turn your rubbish stuff back into useful parts that are uncommon class, and then being able to use all of that stuff in order to make your equipment. Which I thought was a pretty good EXP method, even today, after further testing it. So, I don't know. That's the thing about new skills, because it changes so quickly, and you can write stuff like, this is what you should do.
Yeah.
But it's not going to apply in 6 months.
Yeah, and I'd like to say that there was a stream on Wednesday, I believe, and I think it was Osborne, said there are better ways to train not centered around disassembly. Then they said, can we tell the players what they are? And they said, no, we'll leave that as a surprise. So there is another way to train out there not centered around gear disassembly, which is now the preferred way of training invention.
Surprise.
So what have you guys been augmenting to level up your invention?
Crystal bow.
Same.
I've actually been pulling. I had a stockpile of level 70 gear, God Ward stuff, God swords. And when that started to run low, I started grabbing all the old quest items that were easy to replace and not tied to the GE. So the Karasi sword, X-Cal, Blisterwood stuff, Sunspear, all that kind of stuff you get from questing is pretty good, because you can replace it for pretty cheap.
Also, of note, you get more XP faster by using two-handed weapons rather than going with the Karazi sword and Jessica's sword.
Yeah, I found that out the hard way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Based on what I saw, I went with Chaotic Longsword and Offhand.
Wow.
Because I can see myself using those for bossing, and for me, I'm not going to be the one that's going to rush to train these up. I'm going to actually use them, because right now my focus in RuneScape is pretty much combat with Inventor on the side right now. So,
all right. Also of note, you get more XP as you level up. So this goes into what you were saying earlier, Mr. Bistro, about, you know, for the earlier levels, just create perks and whatnot. Because once you get to level 27, you can level up your weapons to level 10, and that gives you a massive 540,000 XP for disassembling a full weapon. And once you hit level 60 invention, I don't think any of us are here yet.
No.
Nope.
You can level up to level 12, and you'll get 540K still, but you can also siphon that away, meaning you do not lose the weapon. So level 60 invention is what we should all be targeting.
Yeah, and that's why I really think that when you're starting this, you should really have in focus building up the ability to use your augmented equipment as long as possible, and getting the right kind of perks by dismantling a bunch of things to really reap the benefits out of those.
Yeah, we'll talk about perks in just a minute and how to get them all, because there's been some pretty extensive work already done with that on the official forums, so that's good. But Black Salamanders are also very economical if you're looking for a ranged weapon, because those are practically free. Just go catch them with your hunter level, use the Herolander paste, and off you go. Crystal bows, if you have those, other crystal equipment like the crystal halberd is good. And see, this is where I feel pigeonholed with this skill right now. It's the best way of training XP is by leveling up your gear, and that on release initially is combat only, hence why I feel pigeonholed into combat, which is not something I enjoy.
Well, and Shane, do you... Okay, so you've been around for these kind of releases that were in batches. I don't think I was here. I mean, I was here for Dungeoneering, but I didn't even remember that it came in two batches. Do you think that's the right call, or that any skill should be released like that?
What I would have done with this skill is I would have released what we got this first week, plus what we're going to be getting in February with the tools, just so we have a combat and a non-combat way of training it. And then I would have held off releasing everything post-120 like they're going to be doing. So,
I personally would have gone with releasing lower level stuff that you can augment from both sides, and then raising that with the next batch, kind of like they did with Dungeoneering when they released the second half, technically, of the floors.
Yeah,
it would have balanced things out a little bit more and forced people to learn that just because you augment some expensive high-level stuff doesn't mean you're going to get better XP from it.
Exactly. And, I mean, we can look at this XP table right here. I'm not sure where this came from, but it was posted on RuneWire. Currently, it looks as though the best way of leveling up your weapons is with Eru's, followed by Dark Beasts. Gives you 332k invention XP an hour.
Wow.
So, I guess that's what you can do. I mean, there's other options out there. The Glacers are also decent.
Where's Muspo on there? Because the reason I mentioned that is it's instanced and people are fighting for space really bad. And it's getting real ugly out there. Muspos are instanced.
495k XP an hour.
People are fighting for space for everything. I mean, just walking over to the Slayer Tower in Caniphus, I saw how busy the divination areas were, which just reminds me of the divination release, which I found hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I guess Muspos are the thing to do then.
I had a hunch. I was thinking that even before.
I've never even gone to fight these before. Where are they?
Frenesque. You use your six-stage circuit, get to the world gate, and then go to the... Gosh, it's the option right before the last option.
And
I want to say cradle,
maybe.
Well, you got three types. You're going to have your range, your melee, and your mages. You want to make sure you have your Shard of Zaros. Very, very important.
Right.
If you don't have that, they're going to bum rush you, and it's going to get ugly real quick.
All right. So I guess Muspas are the way to go then if you're looking for something that you can train that's not going to be crowded.
Yes. And use magic and use ancients because you get a bonus for using ancient spells in there.
Now we just need a level 75-ish staff that's cheap to come by that we can all augment, right?
Crystal staff. Listerwood staff.
For me, when it comes to experience gains, if you're doing anything Slayer, that's going to give you the most XP per hour for combat because you're gaining it in so many skills at this point.
Well, I mean, invention-wise, we're just talking about leveling up the weapons. See, and this is the thing. This is the way it comes swinging back around and hits the skillers in the head. Everything above level 70, including, is a drop. Why do we not have anything at north of level 70 that can be created using crafting, smithing, or fletching? That's actually useful.
Mm-hmm. You know, I almost think that we are going to see that when they update smithing and mining when it comes to...
Well, we're about 5 years too late on that.
Well, yeah, but if you remember RuneFest, this is something that they're going to do, and they probably planned to release some stuff with this, along with Inventor.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. It's just.
You know, the classic argument though is that there is a risk associated with combat. So if they do release that for skilling, which I think they should, I'm not taking this position. I think they should, but it's going to be such a high RNG chance of probably getting something good from breaking it down, because you have to balance it somehow, right? Because you are
I mean, technically, you are risking something when you're fighting.
Okay. I don't know. I just for me, this is the number one stumbling block in this skill, is that right now the best way of leveling it up is by way of combat, and I can't create anything to do on my own here. I gotta buy everything. I gotta buy all my weapons. I can understand buying 80 plus weapons, but why do we not have anything below 80 that we can, you know, self-craft?
And maybe that should be, like, maybe that would be
ports.
The dividing line, a good, you know, a good divide. Well, yeah, ports, but it's so hard to get.
But I got to get to level 60 to before I'm not disassembling a ports weapon.
Yeah.
So,
that's why this is an elite skill.
You could siphon the ports.
Exactly, like, that's
I think
what I'll be doing
gonna,
at 60.
Yes, and see, my experience has been I'm going to start wearing my good armor and just siphoning the armor, and then I can live with level 70, you know, DPS put out. That's not a problem. The armor, on the other hand, is a problem.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think level 75 is the sweet spot for Slayer DPS.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
all right. So there's the best way of leveling invention, I guess. Right now, I mean, it. I thought it would be more complicated, but it seems so simple now.
Right. How far we have come.
I'm just hoping with Betch 2 that they'll really like send out like a whole nother wave of perks that you're going to be able to add on to everything.
Yeah.
And there need to be more perks.
And
yeah.
That's exactly what it's time to talk about right now, perks. The number one problem with this skill when it came out, according to the vast majority of population, is that the perks are random and they don't seem that good. And you have a very high chance of getting horrible perks.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, they're trash. They're trash. I mean, there are some good ones, but they're paired with such bad ones that, I mean, really, if you get something that doesn't hurt you, roll with it. I mean, that's kind of what I've been doing. And once in a while, maybe you might get something that actually will be okay, but nothing that's great.
I mean, why would you want deals 30% less damage to dragons?
Why would you want to go around being scald? Hello? Scald?
Not being able to use protection prayers.
You know, maybe it's just me, but when I went ahead and augmented my weapons, I had no problems, and I went ahead and built stuff off of what I plan to boss against in the future, and I had no negative perks. I think
what?
Maybe it's just because I sat in there for so long and figured
yeah.
everything out.
Yeah, that's it.
I picked out what I wanted, but hey, that's what kind of invention is trying to portray,
yeah.
is taking time to figure this out.
And, you know, you hit
oh,
the nail
ahead.
On the head. You totally hit the nail on the head. That has been another problem, aside from people not doing the tutorial that I've run into, is that people want this spoon fed to them. Which perks are the best? What's the best way of training?
Yeah, and I really hope they don't give in to that, because that's something that really would show someone that knows the skill, and I think RuneScape needs to take some pride into actually learning a skill versus just training the skill. And I don't know, I'm really happy with my weapons, and I'm really excited to boss with them because I took the time to actually figure out how to do it, and that's taking pride in creating a new weapon.
That is awesome. So I spent a lot of time at first too trying to get good perks. I mean, don't get me wrong, you get some, you know, I might get one or two, but it's paired with such crap that it's not really worth it. And I totally agree with what you're saying. I just didn't know there was a possibility of getting anything good, because I messed with it and didn't get anything good. So now that I even know that that's out there, that helps me. That makes me feel better. It gives me a reason to keep, you know, throwing stuff in the slots and hoping for a better outcome.
Yeah,
and it's just kind of like the way when you're building those blueprints, you're just throwing things around and slowly making it work. You're slowly crafting your weapons to make it work as well.
And that's supposed to be, you know, what we're ultimately aiming for in this skill. I basically had to pull up the definition for invention to remind people. Invention is the act of inventing something, typically a process or device. So it's basically the discovery. That is what we're doing with the skill. And I said, remember, you need to make the discovery. And I think if you approach it with that mindset, it makes it a bit better.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Anyway, some of the perks we got here. I mean, does anyone have a favorite yet?
I like the wise and enlightened perks.
Enlightened, like, 1 XP, 1% XP gain per rank. Okay.
I like invigorating a lot. And the trophy hunter, I like.
All right. Okay. I was going to go with invigorate and impatient. Those are the two that I want to get for, the ones that increase adrenaline.
Mm-hmm. Mine is, the one I have now, I intend to use for Queen Black Dragon, is increased accuracy and a higher percent damage to dragons.
What's the accuracy perk called?
I'd have precise. To log in and check again.
Let me see if I can find that.
Is it Dragon's Fire?
Well, that one increases the damage to it, dragons, oh, okay. But... let's see. Accuracy. Oh, well, apparently Fine doesn't want to work on the page, but I believe you that it's there.
That'll be a good alternative for people that can't have problems with, you know, have problems with quest, and they don't have the dragon brain.
There's also anti-theism. Denies access to protect prayers and deflect curses.
That is really nice. I didn't know that existed.
Brassican places a piece of cabbage in the inventory.
That is terrible. Why?
there's also one that provides you the chance to get a high-level resource.
Which I think is extremely important.
Yeah, I agree. I found inaccurate ahead. For you, Mr. Bistro. Your weapon's accuracy is reduced by 1% per rank.
I am checking my weapons now.
You sure you didn't put inaccurate on that?
Maybe I did, which would be pretty embarrassing. I'm looking at it right now. This is all new interfaces, so I'm trying to sort through it all.
Oh, dude, I would feel bad. Poor guy. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. You know, 30% inaccuracy. Oh, no.
There's also one that increases your maximum hit, but decreases your minimum hit as well. I forget what that one's called, but that one's a pretty good one as well.
It's... Equilibrium. I think we have an ability like that, too.
Wise gives you extra bonus XP or additional experience per day up to 50,000. Mm-hmm. Cosmetic perks including hallucinogenic, causing you to see strange things, and talking.
I want that.
Gives your gear more personality.
Okay,
that's an Alex 43 perk.
Since we started this podcast, when everyone logged in, when you check your items, did it bring up a check inventory screen?
Check.
I don't know. I haven't checked an item yet today.
Because I was checking my items quite a bit, and I wasn't getting the screen, and the screen is awesome.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting a screen. I just did it literally like right now.
I know it's different if you're in combat or not.
You can't do it in combat.
It charge drain, 1.6 seconds. Charge stored.
Yeah, that's a non-combat one you're getting. Rate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got that. Is
XP.
Huh.
Well, what do you know? Something new.
Yeah, you learn something new every day. But anyways, we also got a good guide here on the official forums about building perks. The fellows class them into buffs, debuffs, and cosmetics. For armor and weapons, so if you're looking for a specific perk, he basically tells you how to get it, and with that, what kind of components you need and how many of them that you need device. So you'll be able to find that in the show notes at update.rsbb.com, a link to that forum page.
Oh, okay. Very cool. I was looking at the wrong gizmo that I said was doing so good. I have Invigorating 2 in Dragon Slayer, which is 2% damage to dragons and boosts 10% adrenaline per rank. And that's for armor, not for weapons.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
My apologies.
All right.
But yes, that's still only positive things. So.
Yes, very good.
So basically, he breaks it down so that you, in case you need to fill two slots with the component or you need to fill five, and if you need to put it in front or put it in the back when you're doing that. So it is pretty exhaustive about how to do this. So definitely give this a read if you're going for a specific perk.
That is just awesome.
Yeah.
Many. Yeah, that is awesome. Thank you.
And he distills it down to, you know, positive perks and negative perks. So if you go for five slots pious, apparently you get wise plus enlightened 3, and you get plus 4% experience.
Oh, wow.
Nice. One slot dexterous plus four slots variable is equal to reflexes plus clear head, and reflexes plus clear headed 3 gives you anticipation time and cooldown divided by half plus the 3 second duration on anticipation.
So, going back to that first one, my mind's already racing with how to break that experience bonus. I know that it caps at 400%, but I'm already thinking of ways to get that to at least 45%.
Exactly. So this is the mystery and intrigue that awaits people who train invention. It's not about, you know, just looking up some recipe and seeing how they can enhance things. It's about inventing your playstyle, which is discovering your playstyle and making changes to it. And I think by calling it that, they can get away with calling the skill invention. At least that's how I receive the skill.
I'd say going into this skill, I wouldn't call it my favorite skill, but I would call it the most important skill because of how diverse it makes gameplay, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that. And there's also tech trees that you choose at level 40. You choose one, either goblin or dwarven, and then at level 60 you choose the other one. I already know that I'll be going for the dwarven one to have the ability of eventually making my sprinkler for my farming crops.
What have you guys chosen so far?
Well, I haven't got to level 40 yet.
And I haven't chosen. I'm 47, but I haven't taken the time to choose. I really probably should.
Well, just based on what Shane said, I'll probably go for a goblin then, just to see what the differences are in that.
That's what I'm leaning towards, but everyone I talk to is going dwarven, so I'm going, am I missing something?
But you like, get the other one at level 60.
Yeah. Well, I think that goblin might be missing something due to batch 2.
Oh.
I get the idea of that.
And to be fair, we don't exactly know what is within these tech trees yet, because no one has exactly filled them all out, which I mean is fine, because that's within the general discovery sense of invention, but there's no reason why, you know, people should expect to be told what's in each tech tree, I think.
Yeah, that's true. I heard, like, you know, goblin was supposed to be like lightning and energy kind of based, and I thought, yeah, that sounds cool.
Well, I mean, they have the first incandescent bulbs in that city.
That's true. That's so true. Maybe it will branch to where, you know, like, if you're more of a mage, you might want to go more in the goblin area. Or if you're more of a brute force, maybe go into dwarf. I don't know.
I don't think they could do that given the state of evolution of combat in the game.
These tech trees are going to turn everything into mechscape. This is their way of getting mechscape back into things. We're going to be flying spaceships by the time the year's over.
Yeah. Well, that would have been a way to deal with Tuska, that's for sure.
Everybody just flies out there.
I don't know. If that actually happens, though, I don't know if I could keep playing this game. I'd be pretty sad.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. Although I'm running around looking like a
you know, like a Navy SEAL, so I guess I've already...
Yeah, your little elven sniper thing, right?
Yeah, with my backpack and snorkel.
Slice, piercing shot, punish, and rack deal no damage, but generate 0.6 additional adrenaline per rank. That's the energizing perk. I don't know why you'd want that. Okay. Anything about tech trees, or should we just move on? Because I don't know anything about tech trees.
I think that'd be something that can be covered a lot better once people are getting into those levels.
Yeah, because I mean, right now we've covered exactly everything that we need to in terms of leveling up. And I think if you are coming into this podcast and you had no idea what invention was about or how to train it, hopefully you have a better idea now of how to accomplish that.
Yeah.
And I think we've also, you know, came across some important distinctions that the XP curve is there for a reason. And invention is about inventing your own playstyle.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
All right. Well, let's move on to the behind the scenes for February then. That's a bit out of order. But, of course, the first thing that's talked about in February is going to be invention once again. Specifically, they call it Invention 1.1 and Invention 1.2. 1.1 will be decreasing the price of augmenters to make them much more useful, so that's good. I think that's what you sent me this afternoon, Colton.
No, I think I sent you the rune metrics, but yeah, they are doing that. So
yeah,
and that will be nice because those are going for about 3 or 4 mil.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not augmenters. It's equipment siphons. Yeah.
Yeah. And they cost, I think right now, I mean, it'll be different come Monday, but right now they cost about, I think, 1.2 to make, with the best method being Slayer Rings to get your precious parts. And if you broke down shield bows, you should have a lot of dexterous parts.
Uh-huh.
So that is going to be your ticket to making your siphons.
Yeah, and I mean, simple parts come from things like logs and bars and ore and runes and
maple
stuff.
Maple logs,
like that.
Baby. Finally, there's a
yes. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe see those prices jump up 1 GP.
That'd be nice. I mean, there is a good reason why we should hope that things will go up. But of course, the second part that we'll be seeing in February is tools such as the crystal pickaxe and crystal hatchet to be augmented, and adding skilling perks. So that makes me happy.
Have you guys gotten your have you bought your dragon pickaxes and hatchets yet?
No, I'm hoping someone will give me one.
Mine are on my tool belt, and they're crystal, and I'm not touching them.
You can't use those.
I know.
That's what sucks the most about it. But I'm still interested because I think you could really go a long way with even more enhanced top level mining and wood cutting stuff.
Yeah. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, and I mean, that is what is missing for me the most in the skill. And aside from that, my only complaints, I think, have been getting slowly addressed over time. So that's good, and overall I think the skill is probably a good thing that was added to the game. And it was late because we really did need something like this in-game to make various pieces of equipment and whatnot out there that are seemingly useless before have another use. So I'm looking forward to it.
As am I.
Alrighty. Also coming in February, Nomad's Elegy. The first quest of 2016.
Wow.
It's going to require Dishonor Among Thieves, The Mighty Fall, The Void Stares Back, Nomad's Requiem, Throne of Miscellanea, and Heart of Stone.
Woo! Interesting quest thrown in there, huh?
I keep my fingers crossed to make sure that it doesn't touch the Goblin series because I still, for some reason, haven't finished those.
Huh.
But that's awesome.
Okay. You'll need level 75 in woodcutting, mining, and construction. A high combat level and good gear are highly recommended, so...
I'm a little scared.
Well, I mean...
I'm a little scared of the fight. They said it's...
That's what I mean.
The first one looked easy. I'm going, ooh.
Well, if they're saying the first one compared to the release of Evolution of Combat, then I'm not so scared.
I don't
scared.
Think that's what they mean, though. They buffed him.
Yeah, because, I don't know, I really wish I had fought Nomad before the EOC, because that was supposed to be challenging, and it
why
was
would
just
you,
kind of
Why
horrible.
Would you wish that on yourself?
I'd wish that on myself, because I'm a combat head now that I've maxed all my skills, minus Inventor.
He's one of them.
One
yes,
of them.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them. But you'll respect me for that whenever this combat stuff comes out. So.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Come on, Colton. Come
I'm
to the
I'm
dark
just
side.
Pulling his leg.
I don't know. We'll
on
see.
The dark side.
I think it took me 13 tries.
First Nomad. See if we can break that.
Well, no. Let's not hope for that. Let's just hope it's going to be a nice, leisurely boss fight.
Do you think that's the most you've ever had to do on one boss fight? Was Nomad? Like the most attempts you've had to take, Shane?
I want to say yes, but there might be one that I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
Dwarves.
For me, the hardest attempt was Yakimaru. So, I think Nomad will be much simpler. especially after that, like, sad state of the end of, that vampire quest that came out recently. That really disappointed me in the boss fight. So many waves or phases.
Hey, I had fun.
Yeah, I mean, that one, there was a bit of thought to that one, but I don't know.
Yeah, there's a bit of thought, but I mean, they should have just mashed it all together.
Yeah, I've been more frustrated from quest boss fights than I ever have from regular combat. And like those dwarves, worst fight ever.
All right, let's not talk about that.
Bringing up bad memories here.
We also have something called Rune Metrics, which is coming into game. It's basically going to be a way of tracking drops, tracking XP per hour, tracking your DPM, amongst other things, in-game. There's also going to be a website component to it, so you can kind of think of it as an adventurer's log on steroids, I guess.
Yeah.
It looks way too expensive.
Yeah, one bond for a month, if I recall, right?
Yes, and that is more than most of our memberships. Like, way too expensive.
Yeah, and I mean, as a fan site owner, there's part of me that wishes we could have something like this available to, you know, hook into for high scores and whatnot. And it'll be interesting to see what they do with the website of it, because you can't put something on the web without it sending data to a client, so...
The extra stuff is the premium. You're still going to get that base Rune Metrics thing. I don't think it's all that bad. I just think
it's not.
Some of the really special tools and, will cost you that extra.
And the way I see it is that there are people out there who want to pay for this. I say let them, because there's a certain group of the population who's centered around no XP waste, optimal DPM, optimal DPS, that sort of thing. And when they have the ability to do it, they have the money. So why not let them pay through the nose for something like this?
Well, you know, that's not really fair, because some people just like statistics. I just like numbers, and I would just like to know my XP per hour. I mean, I'm not an XP per hour.
Well,
like, that's not my focus, but I just like to know.
Go ahead.
Oh, it's just, you know, there's a little secret. There's already stuff out there that does that for free.
Yeah, but they're third-party clients and or third-party plugins, and they're
not really
exactly the safest.
And they're going to be breaking when NXT comes around, probably.
Uh-huh.
For me, when I see this stuff, yes, it seems like something that could be easily made. But when a new boss comes out or something like that, I would put down the bond to figure out the best strategies based on DPS or what you're getting out of that boss fight. You know, have someone running that and figure out what the boss is actually doing to you and your team, and
go from
there.
And I mean, you hit my second concern right on the head there. Is this going to tell you not only what you're doing, but is it also going to tell you what the boss is doing to you? Because what you're doing is only half the side of the equation. It would be nice to know what's coming in at you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And more than just your DPM, as in how much am I debuffing this target? What am I hitting him with? What is the proportion of abilities that's doing the most damage? Is it my basics, thresholds, or ultimates? What combat type is it? That sort of thing. If they're paying, I think that's the kind of thing you should hopefully expect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have liked to seen it more, I don't know, like the wealth evaluator, you know, where you can pay a fee to rent it, or you can just, and I wouldn't care if it was like a decent amount to unlock it permanently.
I just don't
like the monthly. I don't
literally
like
just about to say that. That's my only gripe. It's a rent-only feature, and I think that even if it's 10, friggin' like 15 bonds, that's fine. I don't think that this should be a rent-only feature. I feel like, because if you're going to want these features, you're going to want them the whole time, and they know that full well, and that's why they're leaving it like this. This is a little bit more aggressive of a money grab than I feel was really necessary for this kind of feature.
And of course, people are going to pay for that. There's people who could pay 18 bonds for it right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's okay, but as with everything, we're not going to pass final judgment on it or anything, but we've kind of outlined here what we'd like it to do, and the optimal pro feature of this for me and probably the bossing community would be to have the RS client write your damage output, damage done to the boss, damage done to you, the whole shebang of everything happening in combat directly to a file for analyzing later, and then let the RS community write the parsers for that. And there you go. Parsing is fun if you have access to the raw data. And with the amount of stuff coming out this year for combat, new bosses, and, you know, the Saren support spells, there's no good, or there's not a, what am I trying to say? Anyone know?
I don't know.
There's no time better than now to have something like this with the way combat is going and the kind of support spells that we have now. So, better late than never.
Mm-hmm.
Also this month we have Chinese New Year celebrations. Piggybacking off of last year's Zodiac event, this year they're focusing on Chinese New Year 2016 specifically. So they'll have the same kind of Death Lotus tasks, time-sensitive task list, where you can get a Dragon Zodiac costume. That'll be there. And of course, they also want people to head on over to Rune Labs to support ideas for the content for the Eastern Lands, which won in the most recent poll. So,
ooh.
Rune Labs appears once again.
I think it's good. I like it.
Eastern Lands? Were you? Yeah, really? See, yeah. I would have thought you were going to go for Minifoss.
Heck,
I mean,
no,
come
I don't
on,
want the players that touch that.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, being the lore person you are, I mean, come on.
Heck no, let Jagex do that. Man, that would be sacrilege to let players put their grubby fingers all over it.
I'm just imagining
Priftinus had it been designed by the players. We got a... some might say that this was a city that was already sort of designed by the players, but I think they hit the nail on the head with Priftinus, and I think they can do it with the Eastern Lands, or with Menaphos, rather. I'd rather them touch the Eastern Lands.
I guess I didn't realize.
So,
do we?
Is this not ports? Is this actually like a little bit of Eastern Lands?
Yeah, this is actually going to be a little bit of the Eastern Lands. Mermaid and Siren Quest is also up there right now.
All right.
Pirates, Conquerors of the East, Death Lotus Quest, Eastern Lands, a Skilling Boss, the Angry Koala. Let's see what's in there.
You see, now Jagex is talking about making stuff for the Eastern Lands, so I'm satisfied. I will now start griping about there not being the Western Lands.
Wasn't that supposed to be Prif, Dinas?
Nope. Apparently it's supposed to be like a complete wilderness-esque continent.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. But anyways, yeah, there needs to be more support in Rune Labs, because there's only 3 ideas with more than 100 upvotes. So, not really getting the engagement that they would like on this. And on the first page, it goes all the way down to 14. So Rune Labs is kind of falling flat here.
Well, I think that's probably because they hyped it up, people were involved, and they said, yeah, well, we're kind of not doing that anymore. And then they're like, well, we kind of are. Well, we'll let you know once in a while. So people are just like, eh.
There's also an idea here for Wilderness 2, the islands that were once turtles. So it is a way of making a kind of wilderness out east, I guess. Maybe this could be for you, Mr. Bistro. It's currently the most upvoted idea.
Boo. All I'm going to say. Wilderness we have is already dead content.
Legend says that large turtles swam in the water under the Ark, turned to stone by mysterious forces. The islands are largely uninhabited and, being mainly stone, lack much of the resources held by the other islands of the Ark.
Ooh, wilderness with no resources. Awesome.
So no reason to go there, right?
Yeah, good. Exactly.
And some reason this is winning. So it's interesting a PvP kind of idea is working, but we'll have to wait and see on that if that even makes it to poll.
And I bet that I will bet you, like, I'll say it right now, right here on the show. If it does make it to poll, I bet that it will not even make it in the top 2.
Yeah, it's been the general trend with Rune Labs updates, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Even if it did
win. The Rune Labs community is not representative of the larger community.
No, and even if it won, Jagex would let it quietly die off in the sunset.
Well, they say the idea of turning one of the islands into a PvP zone is a fair one and something they've considered too. We'd ideally like to see more information on what sort of PvP content might sit here.
Hmm.
So that's only for one of the islands.
Cop out for Western.
Well, why don't you write something that teleports you to an island that's to the east, or to the west, rather? I don't know if that would work, but... Anyways. Also, in February, we got Game Blast 16 and then Double XP Weekend on February 26th. And for those of you guys wondering, you will not be getting double experience in Invention.
Yay.
Although I will be training it anyway, because the only skill that I need to train is Dunge, and all of my friends have 120, so yep, not doing that alone.
Oh, I'm sure you'll be able to find some people.
I'll be using the weekend or the weekdays after to be buying up a whole bunch of resources that would otherwise cost me more.
And I mean, that's a perfect thing to think about for people who might not be wanting to keep their things that they train on the double XP weekend. They'll just dump them on the GE afterwards, so maybe we'll see some items drop in price.
Who knows?
But of course, Game Blast 16, which I know, Tanis, you're a fan of, so we'll have to plan more for that.
Yeah, be expecting stuff from me about that.
All right. We also have a poll this week. Gower Quest Reward finalists. You guys vote in this?
Yep.
What'd you guys vote for?
I did not.
I voted for the current leader because it sounds friggin' awesome.
How about you, Tanis? You vote in this?
I have not.
All right.
I have had invention blinders on. gotta get home. I gotta go home.
All right, well, the choices were Old Fens, Vera Umbra. Those are the 2 skeletons that were on the login screen. You could get them as pets. One would sit on the other's shoulder. They're at 7%. Black Lobster, Wolf God Who, 14%. Confetti Loot Beam, XP Engineer, made that 19%. Balloony, which is a balloon emote from ShadyRS, 19%. Login screen teleport from Hooknar, 31%, and I don't mind at 14%. So you went for the login screen teleport, Colton?
Yeah, definitely. It looks awesome. Like, it just pops up with sort of the old style of the login screen and all that kind of stuff when you teleport.
Yeah,
it
with the rune images
really?
And whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, it looks really neat.
That would have my vote.
I voted for the confetti loop beam.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I think we need more loot beams, so I think that's a good idea. I just don't know if that's what I want from my Gower quest, you know?
And see, the reason I didn't go with the login screen teleport is because I find those teleport animations annoying, and we already have quite a few of them.
Yeah, I can see why you'd say that.
I would love to have a big, bright loot beam. Like, it hurts that I don't have the present one, because I wouldn't miss drops then.
Mm.
And I've missed, literally last night I missed a Bandos helmet, and you guys probably know this, I actually missed a Bandos pet once.
I didn't see it,
and it was on the ground. I didn't know I got it until my friend popped into TeamSpeak and was like, dude, you got the pet. I'm like, where?
How many hours of therapy did it take to get over it? Oh my gosh.
Well, you noticed over Christmas I was playing other games, right? Yeah.
RuneScape and you had to part ways for a little while.
We had to go on a break
to work things out.
Yeah.
All right.
That hurts.
Well, there's also a new devlog about draw distances in the NXT client. How they smoothed over issues such as making it seem as though Catherby and Karamja aren't right next to each other, since you can see them now. And various other areas, so they go all into that. And it basically worked out to looking at which areas were close to each other on the map, and then simulating whether or not they can be reached by walking on the ground. Then if they can't, they would just extend a certain material and make it so that you can't see either landmass or map tile from the other if they can't be walked to. So there's a picture here of someone standing in Death's house, and you can see Tuska in the background. So that's just how they work the maps. And of course there's also other issues too, like players appearing, so they need to handle, you know, extra draw distances for the players, because in certain PvP scenarios you don't want to see players that are too far out, so they have to control that and make sure you also send things like chat and whatnot. So that is all being fleshed out in the NXT client, and once it ultimately hits beta, there will still be areas that need to be looked at, and that's why they're going to be relying on the beta testers to help out with that. Because, I mean, there's so many areas that you just can't hit them all, so they're trying to hit all the common ones first, and then the rest will be fleshed out with the beta. So definitely going to be reason to be participating in an active beta test once this hits.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait.
Very exciting.
Wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either. It's going to be very fun to see if we can finally get decent performance on an OS X based system here.
No, I'm just kidding.
Because as it stands right now, the only Macintosh systems that run RuneScape well have AMD-based video cards.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
It's because of the OS X implementation of OpenGL. The OS X implementation of OpenGL on AMD is a lot better and more efficient than it is on NVIDIA or Intel.
Interesting.
It works well for, you know, things like drawing the operating system and, you know, the odd 3D animation, but when it comes to gaming, it's not that great. That's why Apple has brought something out called Metal with OS X El Capitan back in 2015. That's probably more than you guys were wanting from that, but I could go into further details of how everything like that works, but we won't do that here. So if you're interested in a bit of behind the scenes of the NXT client, definitely give this a read.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and well, I mean, we did spend a fair amount of time on inventions, so we'll just go through our couple questions right now. So, Colton, you want to read the first one?
Yeah, sure. Our first question is from Duke Juker. Dear hosts, I can ask about anything I want? Twisted emoji. Just kidding. Tempting, though. My first question has to do with invention. Two parts. What do you think of the skill as a major item and money sink? Do you think this will have a negative or positive impact on the economy short and long term? My second question. If you could voice any NPC in the game, even ones that already have voiceovers, which one would you pick? Last question. If you could be one of the 8 elf clan leaders, which would you want to be? Duke Juker. Should I start?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. With regards to invention, I think it's doing a great job. I think it's doing exactly what it needs to do. May need some tweaking as it goes along, but I think it's doing a great job of sort of absorbing those lower level materials that, people don't need anymore. I mean, for heaven's sake, there are basically no hand cannons left of the game, and magic shield bows are probably on the endangered list now. So I think it's, in terms of short term, it's kind of crazy. It kind of broke the GE. Everything is like now you have to pay way over median price for everything, and so it's the Wild West. The GE is now, it's, you can't go buy the prices on the Grand Exchange anymore, so everything's going up. And that on top of a bonus XP weekend, I think is short term causing a little bit of stress in the economy, but I think in the long term, it'll all sort of, boil down and, it'll even out. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's a good, yeah.
6 months is my forecast till a point of relative stability again, given everything new with invention will be coming out and the bonus XP weekend. Yeah. Because bonus XP weekends normally take 2 to 3 months to calm down in the markets. So yeah. My general sense is that if you're selling something, it's best to be using your wits just like you had to do in the good old days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And item sync-wise, absolutely. As I mentioned when we first started this off, I feel like there's a reason for me now to ultimately train smithing with something other than, you know, just gold bars or, you know, the cheapest alternative. Go with, you know, Addy swords or something like that and break them down for invention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's going to be used at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tannis or Mr. Bistro, any thoughts on the economy?
Go ahead, Bistro.
Well, I was kind of expecting this to happen with the economy anyway. And yes, I do think it will go back to normal in a new sense, where the new normal will be what we see for the rest of RuneScape. Mm. I think the economy is way better off for this, and I'm really happy that Inventor was the kind of sink that it is for all these items. That's really all I have to say about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's working well. It's an item sink. I'm also hopeful that it will that the prices for the mid-level bossing stuff will remain higher than it was. Because you know, I enjoy God Wars, but yet I'm not at a level where I can go Rago all the time, where you actually really make money. So you know, I'm happy for that, and I hope it will continue. We'll see.
All right. If you could voice an NPC in game, what would it be?
Sir Rowan, for the heck of it. I don't know.
Guthix.
Okay.
I would voice Ned, the sailor from Dragon Slayer quest.
Ned.
I would be like, do you guys want some rope? I'm gonna make sure you get some rope.
Nice.
I
would
I would do that like Captain Jack, you know. But where's the rum?
You guys know who I would voice?
You would voice Captain Picard, of course.
Oh. Yeah.
I would actually voice the Master Farmer.
Oh, okay.
What? Yeah. No, you changed it at the last second just to spite me,
no.
Didn't you?
No. I would.
Every time someone would thieve
if I was in
from
charge
him,
of Jagged,
he'd be like, no, 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 no. I'm sorry, Shane.
If I were Jagex, I would put out the money and get Patrick Stewart to voice Augustine.
Okay.
Because there's an actual voice actor for that, right?
I know, but I thought that it would have just been so perfect. Okay, I understand. I'll take it.
I'm not going to voice Captain Picard.
Too big a shoes to fill.
Yeah, I mean, that voice already exists and is well known, so get someone who actually does it to, you know, voice it for a game like this.
I guess that's true. Fair enough.
And he's British, so shouldn't be too hard to find.
He's probably not doing anything right now.
Clan leader, that would have to be Cruis for me.
Dang it. Amlod, because he's totally in the spirit realm, man. Far out.
It's Kadarn, a male.
Kadarn? Yeah, that's Ariane or
Ariane.
Arianwen. No, not Arianwen. Crap. It's a guy. I think it's Arianwen. Yeah, Arianwen. There we go. Yeah.
Okay. We'll go with Kadarn. Oh no. Well, whatever. I'm going with Kadarn. That's the clan I like. It's my favorite clan.
I
could talk a little higher if I had to. We'd throw it in there.
Very nice.
You like my lady voice?
No. Mr. Bistro?
What's going on? What's the question? I thought I already answered it.
Which elf clan would you voice?
Oh, which elf clan would I voice?
Or which elf clan leader would you want to be? Sorry.
Probably the Slayer one.
Iorwerth?
I don't know his name, yeah.
Lord Iorwerth, okay.
He's just kind of badass.
All right, thanks, Duke. I'll read this second question from Undoer. Dear host, two questions for you, one RuneScape-related and one life-related. First question, I tend to play the game on and off a lot. I recently came back to the game after Christmas and was wondering what your favorite updates of 2015 that I should be checking out, and any other major changes I should be aware of that I may have missed. Second question, being Australian living in Queensland, I've never had the opportunity to go in snow. I'm going on a holiday later this year to the snow. What are your favorite things about snow, and what don't you like so much about snow? Those are both from Undoer.
All snow is good snow.
Colton,
except
I can't
for the yellow.
Said that.
Oh, gosh. Let's start with the first one. Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'd say one of the biggest things that you missed in 2015 would be raids. And if you ever need a raid buddy, I'd be happy to show you the ropes. Raids are awesome. And anyone who hasn't tried them yet, they should.
Just disclaimer, you probably want 90 plus stats, right?
Depends on the team. I'd say like 80s with good armor would be good enough. I mean, really, it comes down to knowing the attacks and having people that know what's going on to really get those raids to go through. I don't think 90s are all that important as people make them out to be. Unless we're going to go around all for the first half and then go over again for the second half.
No, just go with number two right now.
Okay. My favorite part about snow is that it just looks awesome around, like, Christmas time when I have my lights out and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, totally agree with that. Totally agree
with
that.
But my least favorite part, living in a city, is driving through the slush and slippery freezing, unfreezing, and refreezing ice that snow turns into on the roads. That's just kind of a pain. So that's what sucks about snow. But the beauty is awesome.
yeah,
makes
that
up for it.
Outweighs the negatives. And, you know, it can really, in terms of what you said, make commutes longer too. So that is something that people who do not have snow need to be aware of, that you are missing out on that part. But anyways, I think you summarized that quite well. I'll go next. I'll start with the snow part, since that's what we were on. I'll say that the favorite thing about snow is probably just what Mr. Bistro said, is that it makes things look nice, and it's kind of, you know, just adds a bit of a natural cycle to the year. You got snow, then you got the spring, and you got the summer, then of course you got the fall, and each one of those is distinct, whereas if you just had two seasons, then that might not provide as much of a transition for that, so that's nice. Also, another nice thing about it is that it just kills all the annoying bugs outside.
That's true.
So I much prefer winter over summer, just to not have to deal with the heat. It's just easier to deal with the cold for me. So I would have to say it's the temperature. And in addition, just to not sound uniform of what Mr. Bistro said in terms of negatives, you really need to watch out when you're walking on stuff, especially if it gets icy out, because you can have some pretty nasty falls from that.
Yes.
But RuneScape-wise, 2015, definitely 2015 in quests, I feel. Dimension of Disaster, the 200th quest came out. Dishonor Among Thieves, Zamorak's heist quest that basically reintroduced everyone to Zamorak, was one of my favorite quests of the year. We also had the penultimate quest in the Vampire series, another elf quest, and of course, you know, the first bottle quest. So lots of really fun, interesting quests came out in 2015, and that's what I would say to go look at.
Yeah, I'll echo that for my answer to that question. I mean, there were a lot of good quests in 2015. I think that was one of the best years we've had yet. I mean, Dimension of Disaster was my favorite, but I think all of them, I mean, maybe excepting a couple, we just look over those, were pretty solid. So quest content was really heavy, a lot of lore stuff. And just
talking about the
quality.
V quest that we're looking over?
Yeah, let's not talk about that. But other than that, 2015 was a good year in terms of just general quality of life updates. I mean, they made the Togglescape thing.
A reality?
Well, yeah, with the settings menu, basically it's now all centralized and you can just open up the settings menu, the little gear interface on your toolbar, and there's so many different options to sort of customize the way your game looks and the way your game sort of plays. It's really nice, honestly. I think it's been a good feature. So just some good solid stuff they brought out this year. So that's what I would advise you look at. But snow is amazing. I love snow. It is my friend. Driving in it can be a little hectic. Maybe that's the one thing I'm a little bit... I don't worry about me driving in it. I worry about other people driving in it. Because I am on a campus with a heavy dose of international drivers, and I won't say any more about that. Yeah, more than one time have I seen people going the wrong way on one-way streets. But
wow.
Snow is beautiful, and my favorite part about it is when it is like about 29 to 31 degrees and it snows and it sticks to everything and it looks absolutely gorgeous. It's picturesque. It hangs on the top of trees and buildings and just everything. It just gets a nice coating in snow. That's when it's perfect for me. So, yeah.
All righty. And Tanis, best part of RuneScape in 2015 for you?
Well, I mean, for me, it was really...
Pursuit.
Yes, I did not enjoy getting it. But see, it only... That, in a nutshell, is the story of 2015. It was love, hate, and kind of bland. Like, I thought the sniper suit was going to be awesome. when I didn't know it was a sniper suit, and I put all that time. And then I got it, and I'm like, oh, you're kidding me. I got trees on my shoulders. But then they came out with the Spirit Hunter walk. So that totally made it worth it and awesome and better. So I'm going to have to say quality of life improvements, and you guys are probably going to hate me for this, but I really love the walk animations that they came up with. I love it. I think they're so cool. Like the happy, like, then don't you just smile when you see somebody like skipping in front of you? You're like, ah, the guy's happy. You know, and I get to like creep around in my sniper suit. You know, it's good stuff. And the snow. I don't like anything about the damn snow, really. It's a pain in the ass. there's one thing I like, and that was my daughter is 3, and to see her excitement this year when we actually got snow, that was cool. That was really, really cool. And we went out and bundled her up and got to play in it. So that is my favorite part. Let's see. And my only caution is, watch out for the yellow snow. You don't want to play with that. It's not good.
All right.
Good advice.
Well, that's it for questions this week, everyone. Thank you for your submissions. If you want to send in a question or a discussion topic or anything you want us to talk about on the podcast, just email us questions@rsbnb.com. or leave us a voicemail on the Google Voice number at 571-57-BNB, which is 571-572-2632.
Do it.
Indeed. All right, so moving on to tech news, we've got a couple of interesting stories this week. So some of you might remember that back in May of 2015, we mentioned that Spotify was going to be unveiling video. That happened this week, but only on Android. So any Android users here that use Spotify?
I do.
Did you notice this?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because I literally stream music. I plug it into my car, and that's what I listen to on the way to work.
All right. Well, basically the way this works is going to be under a section called Shows. It's going to be including smaller videos and clips from content, including the BBC, ESPN, Maker Studios. It's also got on board Vice News, ABC, and some others, rolling out in the US, UK, Germany, and Sweden. So basically, this is not going to be full TV shows. It's just going to be little clips from TV shows on these networks. So I think that's interesting. It's definitely a different way of consuming media. And it's probably the way that the world is going in general when it comes to consumption. Because, I mean, who wants to watch a full TV show if they've just got a few minutes to, you know, catch a best of clip? And if people can produce their full shows and still get the revenue from these smaller clips, then why not?
Mm-hmm.
Maker Studios had the Epic Rap Battle series, so it'll be not just videos like that, but that's a kind of general short video that they're looking for. So it's basically a way for studios to monetize stuff without going directly to YouTube.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Kick in the pants for Google.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if Spotify will be able to pull something like this off, because they have just such a perfect implementation for so many people of the music side of things. It's like, why would you want to try and change that with going to video?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't use Spotify, but I worry for the people that do, that hope, and I hope that this won't harm the music side of things. So if you have Android, check it out, and you're in the US or UK. Next piece of tech news relates to a patent filing from Facebook. Facebook wants to out Uber.
What?
Yeah. So basically what they want to do is say, centered around an event or maybe people who might work in a specific place together, you'll be able to say, share your ride. How many passengers can you take, and who can see this invite? And you can invite people directly. And then if you share it with someone, then you'll be put together with a map about how to pick them up and ultimately how to get to your location.
My question is, how are these people going to be vetted? Because Uber drivers
are people on your friends list.
That's it?
Yep.
Okay, because I'm pretty sure you can attend events that, like, I mean, obviously you can attend events and see that other people are attending events if they're not your friends.
Right.
And I don't know if they would still be able to request. So it's only friends.
Yeah. Like, that's going to be the default, but if you want to open this up to the public, you can.
At your own risk.
I was going to say, I'm like, I know where my friends live. I don't need a map to tell me, and I think they know I'm coming.
But it's going to tell you the most efficient route.
I know the most efficient route.
But what if you're picking four of them up?
I still know the most efficient route.
You sure?
Oh, yeah.
You're saying you can beat a graph-finding algorithm of your city?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had bad experiences with those.
Okay. All right.
They send me to road construction like 50% of the time.
All right. Well, that's funny. Is this normal for patent applications? It's showing multiple users as user A is Barack Obama and user B is Mitt Romney. Is that normal for patent applications?
I don't know about that.
No idea.
But another thing they say is they'll take into account things like your shared music interests and political affiliations. And the example they give is that long journeys could be pretty fraught if a Bernie Sanders fan who only listens to bluegrass music got paired with a ride with a Trump-supporting heavy metal aficionado.
Well, we're talking about Facebook, right?
Yes.
I think that's all just Trump supporters. At least on
are
my
you
feed.
Sure? Because media is inherently liberalized, so...
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Darn, someone needs to send them a memo about that.
Oh, we're going to be talking about that in just a little bit once again. But, I mean, it's basically a smaller localized version of Uber so that it's only your network of friends who are taking part in this. So it's essentially social driving.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that this is perfectly fine. I don't think Uber is going to have any problem with this because anybody who needs to get somewhere and they're not going with friends or the friends aren't going to the same location is still going to take Uber. You're not going to, you know, cast out a huge net on Facebook for something like this that's public when Uber is, you know, the known quantity in this case. So I don't think that Uber has too much to worry about. It's just going to be focused on events and in general, if people you know are going somewhere or you want to just cast it out to people you know or maybe even your friends of friends, because I think that is something that you can do on there that some people do, right? I mean, I'm not exactly sure how that works. I know friends of friends was a thing a long time ago.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, any questions on this application or thoughts on Facebook offering this before we move on?
I just think this was a little bit of a waste of money on Facebook's part.
Well, I mean, anytime they can use your interests and, I don't know, the question is, how would they make money from this? You bring up a very good point. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Basically, the idea, I think, with putting Obama and Romney on this is you wouldn't want the two people sharing in the same car, especially since they have, you know, different music and whatnot, so.
I think it was just supposed to be a joke.
Well, yeah, I mean, but still.
Yeah.
Well, Mitt Romney's down. He's cool.
Sure.
He probably listens to... No, I'm kidding. Obviously, he's not cool.
Well, this says he listens to The Killers.
Really?
Yeah. Well, obviously that's not true, but that's just what their that's just what their example here says.
Huh. Okay.
Anyways, another Facebook story for everyone this week. Facebook is banning private gun sales. And that is people organizing to sell firearms remotely. So this is once again saying that you cannot organize to do something in a specific way that you want on their website, because this also applies to Instagram, which they own. What do you guys think of this? Should they be telling people what they can and can't do on their service?
Now, I gotta ask, are these privates, they're private sales that are technically illegal?
In some states.
That's my only issue. It's like, as much as I am a very conservative person, and I love guns, to be quite frank, but I don't agree with illegal gun sales. I don't know if this is a step toward more dangerous actions on Facebook's part, as we know that Facebook, as we looked at articles last week and we've seen in the past, that they like to kind of step toward that left edge of things. But I don't think this is as heinous as some other things that they've done. If they start limiting even like official gun sales, I think that's when it starts to cross the line.
Yeah, if you are a licensed operation, you are still okay. But I think that this is just in general private sales. Because I think there are some states where it is legal to do a private sale, right?
I think so.
Yeah, but isn't this like their... I mean, Facebook can decide whatever they want on their website, right? I mean,
yeah, they can.
Wouldn't that be a conservative principle?
That's what I was thinking. I mean, it's still theirs.
A conservative principle would... be say what you want to say, do what you... I mean, if they want to buy these weapons, they can buy these weapons.
But as don't they get to decide?
Because this is media, and media from a conservative point of view is supposed to just relay the public... just relay information. It's not supposed to be opinionated one way or another.
Yeah, and I mean, if Facebook wants to do that, that is okay. It is their company that's entitled to do what they want with this. But the disclaimer needs to be made that this can be taken as a picture of what they might do with other things going forward. Yes. And given what we've seen previously is another reason to be concerned. I know it's illegal to do this in some states, and some states it is not. But it's just putting Facebook where Facebook stands, hence why we are discussing this now and how that fits in with all the censorship that we've been hearing about recently. So once again, I just want to say that if you're on that website, beware, and it is probably not as open as you are thinking, as they would prefer themselves to be thought of. So they're not as utopian, let's say. So I'll just leave it at that and let this be a warning for everyone who uses that website. I honestly don't think that Facebook is the beacon of free speech and freedom on the internet that some people make it out to be. So, eventually there's going to be a case where we need another solution to the social discussion platform that isn't under such tight control. All right, and in the final piece of tech news this week, Microsoft had its quarterly earnings report, made $25.7 billion in revenue, which is pretty good. Microsoft Surface accounts for $1.3 billion in that, and that's up 29% from the previous year. It was $1.1 billion back then. But where it gets bad is the Windows Phone scenario. They sold 4.5 million Lumias in the most recent quarter, down from 10.5 million the last year. And summarizing everything, Windows Phone makes up 1.1% of the smartphone market. So, not too good after the release of Windows 10, which was supposed to make Windows Phone, you know, a compelling choice. That hasn't really happened yet. I was kind of hoping it would, and I think Microsoft definitely has to do something about that this year. Otherwise, they risk, you know, just being irrelevant once again. They really need to bring people to the platform. I'm not sure how they can do that, but it definitely needs to happen. And the open nature of Android and Google just copying things and, you know, not having to, you know, pay restitution for the patented things that they've stolen in the past, it's not right when you have companies like Microsoft just struggling to get into the business like this. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
They got to do something, but what can they do when Google offers a free operating system that's, you know, a copy of iOS and, to a lesser extent, Windows Phone that's just, you know, focused on providing stuff for free? How do you compete with that?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit too late. So, aside from running iOS and Android apps, I'm not sure. Tannis, Bistro, any thoughts on this?
I can't really use any other... No other phone has the accessibility for me that an iPhone has. So I will never probably use a different phone than an iPhone.
Right, and that's important for you.
Yeah.
I'd say that Windows established itself a little too late, and then dropping, I believe, Nokia, I don't know how long ago, was just a step down towards getting to this point. So it doesn't really surprise me to see those kind of sales numbers.
Yeah, I was hoping for better, but I mean, what do you do if this fails? Because this was the unified platform that was supposed to make Windows Phone, you know, easy to run applications. Where do you go from here?
You know, I know people that love Windows phones, especially with the Windows 8 on it, but to me, I could just never get behind it, and Android just had all the things I wanted.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. I think they'll survive, you know? I mean, you can't win everything all the time.
Well, I mean, they don't need to necessarily survive and thrive. They just need to, you know, present something that can grow or at least maintain constant market share and not shrink.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the cost isn't a problem for Microsoft. They could make nothing from it, and they can make nothing from Windows and still be a perfectly viable company. So I think it's just a question of how Windows 10 is positioned with the universal applications.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, we'll leave that for now and check back next quarter. But time to talk about the January Skill of the Month update.
Woo!
Some of you did ask about why we aren't doing Invention as Skill of the Month for February. And the reason is that Invention came out 6 hours after the skill was chosen, and I didn't know if there would be enough time for people to level up in order to be ranked to compete in Skill of the Month. So we'll be doing an Invention Skill of the Month in March.
Cool. I might get to compete in one.
Yeah, there you
nice.
Go.
Nice. Hey.
But the January Ranged Skill of the Month, Parnassius is still in first place with 12.6 million ranged experience gained. Second place is a newcomer to this race, Jake55111 with 4.4 million experience gained. And third place is Sorensen57 with 2.3 million experience gained. So we do have a new arrival in position 2. Will it be enough to move on to position 1 by the time the month is up in 2 days? Unlikely. But do remember that we do offer a point system for Skill of the Month, so that if you, even if you don't win, your XP will still count for something at the end for our year-end Skiller of the Year competition.
Mm-hmm. Every position matters.
Indeed it does. So if this were to end now, Parnassius would get 11 points, Jake would get 10, Sorensen 9, and so on and so forth down the list. That's the way we're doing it. Moving on. Let's have some achievements of the week, Colton, shall we?
All right. First, we have Fast Wesley, who got 99 constitution, or hit points, on January 23rd, 2016. Then we have Zant, who got 99 slayer on January 23rd, 2016. And also the RR Man, who got 99 agility on January 22nd, 2016. Whew, great job, guys.
Excellent.
And I guess we'll transition to I have a little pick of the week this week. So I have two questions to ask you. Do you like food? Do you like eating it? Do you like putting it in your mouth and chewing, swallowing, digesting and extracting nutrients from said food. Do you also like science and things that have to do with science? If you answered yes to both of these questions, then the Institute of Food Technology's website... Okay, I'll stop.
Why are you talking like a robot?
I'm a food science student. I love food science, and this is a great place to go if you want to learn a little bit more about what food science is really about, especially their magazine. It's called Food Technology. It's a monthly thing. It's a great resource for everything from nutrition and dietetics to what goes into your food. It's if people are interested in the food industry and how things are actually put together, it'll offer you quite an in-depth sort of background into what food scientists do and how the process really goes in and what all those additives really are, because I feel like there are a lot of people out there who demonize preservatives and other things like that, which don't need to be demonized because there's solid science behind it. And resources like this are very helpful at sort of offering a good second opinion on those sorts of things. So it's in the show notes. The link is. So go check it out if you're interested.
All right. And I assume a non-scientific person can take stuff out of this, right?
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, it really just requires sort of a basic, if you've made it through like high school, like chemistry class, you should be able to understand, even before that, probably like freshman biology course. It's nothing too crazy. You can dig further in, if you really want to, but, for the most part, it only requires a basic scientific understanding. It's quite enlightening, though, so it's good material.
All right, you can find that at ift.org, and apparently they have issues going all the way back to July 99.
Yes, correct.
The current issue, one of the things on there, What, When, and Where America Eats. It's a 7-page article.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Very interesting. And lots of facts and figures, too. So,
yes, it is quite lovely.
Looks good to me. IFT.org. So, what have you guys been up to? Let's start with you, Mr. Bistro.
I mentioned before that I am a developer. And that's because I, as of February 1st, will be starting as a developer at a website, which is the very beginning of my career, and I'm really excited for it.
Congrats.
Thank you. With that being said, I haven't had a whole lot of time to do as much RuneScape stuff as I used to, but I'm really excited with Inventor, and I'm really getting back into it, and I'm having a lot of fun. So I'm going to be spending a lot more time doing like combat and really analyzing what Inventor has to bring to the table. That's what I'm doing.
All right. And you wrote that Informer article that'll be out in a little bit. Give everyone a brief preview of what that is about.
It's a little bit of a synopsis of what the skill is and how it relates to the most recent skills released, as well as ways to train it towards the beginning. And keep in mind that these are subject to change over the coming months. So it's basically my opinion on its initial release. So I think it would be a good read. So give it a shot.
All right. That's at informer.rsbnb.com. How about you, Tanis? I know we can also find your writing from this week there, but what have you been up to?
It's been a really busy week just with just RL stuff. But, yeah, busy writing the article and doing invention and streaming. That's been my week, really.
All right. Any tips as to what level you got to?
As we have been recording, I just hit 48.
Oh, congrats.
So, thank you.
And once again, you can find him at informer.rsbnb.com. So lots of invention been going on here. Colton, how about you?
Well, just to give you a one up there, Tanis, as we've been recording, I just got to level 52.
Ooh. So, we got a skill of the night going competition.
Yeah, well, I'm stopping until the tools come out because I just want to skill the rest of the way. But I digress. In real life stuff, I've just been doing school, classes, normal stuff, work, all that junk. And in RuneScape, it's just been mainly invention. I've done a few clue scrolls here and there, but not nearly as many as I was doing last week. But, yeah, just sort of enjoying the leveling up grind, as it were. So,
always awesome.
Mm-hmm.
How
about you, Shane? Well, this week, invention, of course, has come out. So a good chunk of my week on RS has been devoted to understanding that. And leveling up, so that's always fun, doing new stuff like that. But I thought I would take you guys through a bit of a look here at what RSBNB looks like from the invention side of things here, because as it is, there was a good amount of time that got put into getting the website ready for invention. I'm not going to tell you how many hours it was, but let me just tell you that it was quite substantial. So the first thing that we have to offer this week for the new invention stuff is, of course, the personal skill signatures, and that's a signature system we've had since 2012, I believe, and on it you can basically choose your signature layout, choose custom background colors, we got a whole selection to choose from, and then you can customize the fonts and everything like that using a nice color picker, and that's ready to go for invention. So if you want to show off your progress in that, we have numerous designs available for that, so you can do that. We also have goal signatures available that work for invention, so if you're going for a certain level, Colton, what level are you going for?
Invention?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, short-term goal is 90, long-term 99.
All right. So yeah, this also, of course, takes into the new XP curve, which complicated matters, but nonetheless we got it done, so you can make all kinds of goal signatures on the website there. Colton, you have 22.3 million XP to go.
I do?
Yep, to level 90.
Because, oh, yes, okay.
Yep. And of course, these update every 24 to 36 hours, so you can find all these at rsbnb.com, signatures and whatnot, if you still use that kind of thing for the forums. And of course, we also have high score tracking at highscores.rsbnb.com, and those are populated by our forum database, so all you need to do for that is sign up on the forums, post in an area with post count, and you will appear within 7 days on the high scores that has been taken down from 1 month, just to foster achievement of the week gathering for the podcast. So we want our podcast listeners to sign up if you want to be tracked for achievements of the week. That's how you do it. Create a forum account and fill in your RuneScape name, and off you go to the races.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, you can see accomplishments and whatnot. And I got 162K invention XP yesterday and 277K ranged XP.
Impressive.
That's cool. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you can break all that down and whatnot. So there are reasons to sign up to the forums if you want to be tracked for achievements of the week, because that's where we pull the achievements from. But that's about it. I don't think there's anything else to say this week, is there? Probably not.
Not to my knowledge.
Alrighty, well, with that being said, thank you everyone for joining us. It's been a bit longer than normal for podcasting, but new skill week, so I think it's worth it, right?
Yeah, full of all sorts of skilly goodness.
Yes, skilly goodness, eh?
Skilly Yum. Goodness.
Nice. Alrighty, well, we'll see you next week, everyone. Remember to check us out on Twitter at RSBNB, and we'll see you then. Thanks for sharing your time with us.
Bye.
Bye.
Farewell.
Thank you.